You are listening to a Need10 Media podcast production.
Are you a high school junior, senior, or maybe you've already graduated from high school? Are you looking to gain confidence and clarity with your future? Discover your pathway? Trying to relieve the stress of wondering about your future and not wasting your time and money, how you're going to get there? I want to tell you more about Career Adventure Academy. When you become a part of Career Adventure Academy community, you've shown leadership in charting your pathway beyond education. The process begins to build your future with purpose. Find your passion, your mission, your vocation, your profession. That all leads into your purpose. What you love doing, does the world need it? Can you get paid for it and you're good at it? When you bring that all together, you discover who you are and the work you're designed to do. To begin, go to nateclayburg.com/yourpath. nateclayburg.com/yourpath.
All right, Jayhawks on the move or on the Zoom, presented by Career Adventure Academy and B&B Farm Store, as we are set for the final week of the regular season. Next week, it's the playoffs. It's the playoffs for everybody. That'll be a topic of our conversation here with Coach Sauer in just a little bit. But right now, Jess up getting ready, prepared for the game tonight as they will travel up to Sumner Fredericksburg and will take on that squad up there. Should be a pretty decent matchup and almost a summer night-like of football for the last regular season game of the year. But bring in head coach Tim Sauer as we say the term of 2020. Turn on your microphone. And I didn't raise that from a pup. That's Coach Sauer. That's his phrase for 2020, officially.
Yeah, if there was a phrase for 2020, it's you're muted. Turn on your microphone.
And now I had to turn on my camera, so I didn't really realize that either. So anyway, let's we have to hit the highlight from last week, the new uniforms. They were in, they were out. Unfortunately, they're 0-1. So I'm going to guess you're going to mix it up tonight and not go all whites.
You know, that's something where, as a leader, you look at where can you delegate tasks. And I think that's one thing, especially from a coach-to-player relationship. If you can delegate, do you want to go white-white? Do you want to go white-blue? Blue-white, blue-blue? Then let it be known that it's based upon the captain's decision of Tanner Cole and Jace Pilcher, because they act as that filter from the players to players and players to coach, and they want to go white-white tonight. So depending on next week, if it's a home or away, I would like to see white-blue, but, you know, look good, feel good, play good. Look good, feel good, feel good, play good. So that's what they want to do. They want to go white-white tonight.
And knowing those two, there could be some variation of pink socks or something like that to support – breast cancer awareness in October, or they may have blue belts or something. Knowing those two, they'll come up with something that maybe you haven't seen yet or haven't approved.
We've talked about doing pink shoelaces, and if guys, you know, I think in previous years, if guys wanted to do it, it wasn't uniform, across the whole entire team. I think I'm looking at for something for next year where securing some funds or looking for donations for, you know, 60 sets of shoelaces for our cleats. So when we hit October, we can have all of our kids matching wearing pink shoelaces. So that's in the 2021 folder for next year already.
I thought you were maybe thinking pink logos on the helmet, a pink J. A little pricier, but that would be pretty cool.
You know, that would look really snazzy. You know what? The almighty dollar rules. So I think that would be somewhat of an expensive equipment change. But yeah, that would look sharp. There's other teams around the state do some different things, and it's just all about where do you want to allocate your resources.
So as you kind of mentioned it, and you've changed this as you're in your third year now, used to kind of rotate captains, and now this year you've stuck with just a particular set of leaders. Talk through the evolution of your theory on captains for your team.
It's ever, leadership is ever evolving. from probably how most of us grew up and the different types of leaders we had to maybe it was more authoritative, where do as I say based on fear. And, you know, kids, things have evolved where things are just different. I would say one thing this year has been different is we've kept with the two captains and no rotating captain, but we've done our kids have done a lot better with our leadership council. And that's when kids are, depending on the size of their class, amount of kids that are out for football, they nominate 1 to 2 to 3. If we have a bigger class, it's 2 to 3. Our sophomore class is rather small, so we have one kid that's nominated that speaks as the voice for that class. And then once a week we talk, and it's just a great chance for the players to advocate for their representative for their class. And then each one of those members in the leadership council to advocate for their team and talk to me. And it's been really great. We've had freshmen come up to, I've had freshmen that advocate for the other freshmen. I've had juniors advocate for other juniors. And this has been really cool to see those kids. We still got a long way to go in leadership and advocacy, but it's been cool to see kids be able to step outside their shell and accept the role that they've been nominated into.
Well, that's a big thing. And we talked about some previous episodes, but being almost given permission to speak up, especially in the sport of football, which traditionally it's my way or the highway, right? That's huge.
I think there's always, from the player side and the coach side, there's always a tactful way of handling it. You know, if there's an opportunity for feedback as a player and it's in front of the whole team and it's yelling or in the wrong setting, that can be detrimental to the team. Just like it would be as a coach. If a coach is just laying into another kid in front of everybody and it's more based upon they're super emotional, it's not so much about their action itself, that can be detrimental to the team as well. So just being able to work with kids, just, you know, unfortunately we see a lot, and it's not necessarily our kids, but we in our society we see a lot of reactive behavior, and how adults and how kids handle problems. If it wasn't so reactive, it could be like I said, it goes back to just how you handle the situation. If you can handle it tactfully, it's usually a win-win at that point.
Well, let's rewind. Friday night a week ago, traveled to Columbus. They had your number. They went up to 5-1 after that game. You went to 2-4, 56-14 win. You know, they dominated that first half. You played a little catch-up in that second half. But, you know, just kind of going through here, their quarterback, you know, about the same number of yards as Jace, but a third of the attempts on passing that made the completions, and just some big plays. But, you know, they've got a good team.
They've got, you know, tip the cap to Waterloo Columbus, two-way playoff team last year. They're good. They have some physical – they got some physical guys up front. They've got some speed. You know, I believe it's them in Denver tonight playing for the first place in our district. And it should be a really good contest for them. And, boy, they're able to do some stuff well offensively, defensively. They've got some studs out there. And we were able to pull some good stuff out from our game. We were able to see some big plays from some of our playmakers as well. And I think, you know, moral small victories, moral victories, whatever you want to call them, we were able to put up the most points on them the whole entire season. I believe they've only let up 7, and that was against Vinton Shelsburg, and every other team they played, they've had a shutout. So we were able to put, you know, 14 points up against them. So that was you know, that was a small little highlight from Friday night. But then as we came back and talked about Monday, there's still some things we can fix and, you know, get us ready for Sumner Fred tonight.
So let's do get into tonight and just get past last week's game at Columbus. You know, Sumner Fredericksburg, you know, as you look at this squad, you look at the game tonight, you know, they're 2-4, you're 2-4, you know, I guess talk through what you're seeing and where you've seen that team evolve from day one.
Yeah, so head coach Jacob Coyle, PE teacher at Sumner Fred, he's a good acquaintance of mine. It's been great to see him kind of take over the helm and change things how he wants to change things at Sumner Fred. you know, both of our teams have one non-district win and one district win, and both of us are going for our third win of the season or second district win tonight. And you're gonna see a little triple option from them. You're gonna see their quarterback, Peyton Schmidt, who likes to carry the rock. They've got a wide receiver who also doubles as their kicker, who's got a little bit of a leg on him, who acts as their vertical threat. And they've got a sophomore running back to complement with Peyton, and a little pretty solid 1-2 combo. Just like most high school football, they like to establish the run. And if you can establish a run, that helps set up the pass. And should be a great competition. This is where we want to be week 7, with another competitive game. And we've had, outside of last week, we've been in every single game at halftime, and it's been a good spot to be in.
Yeah, even looking at Peyton Schmitz, junior, he's got more, as a quarterback, he's got more yards on the ground than he has in the air in passing-wise. But, he's 373 versus 328 in the air. You got to watch that, don't you? You don't know what he's going to do from there.
They're like you said, Peyton has the ability to run it. They've got their sophomore running back who likes to run it. I think he's right under 300 yards rushing, and they've got two other guys at 100 yards rushing. And so you can see that those other guys will get some touches as well. But in the past couple games, it's really, when the game's on the line, you want your top players to have the ball in their hands. And you see Peyton, and you see their sophomore running back, and you see their kicker wide receiver. Really, when you're watching film, hey, that's a play. He's making a big play. He's making a big play. He's making a big play. So you see those top three. If we're able to manipulate the box, be able to put them in situations where they have to pass, how are you going to try to take away those big three and those their weapons that they try to be successful with?
Yeah, he's one of their top tacklers. He's, been their interceptions. You just go down the line, you see him across the board. But, it's probably easy to focus in on him and forget, some of the other threats, right? That's a game plan that coach is probably thinking about too.
Right. So sometimes you got to look at it and says, hey, we're going to take away, especially when you're looking at triple, here's their read. This is the look that we're going to give them. And, hey, we're going to have someone else beat us. You look at it from a basketball perspective, maybe you're going to zone some – you're going to try to double someone else and make another player beat you. And, if we're able to take away their big three and they have a couple other guys go off, and we're willing to live with that.
So that game is tonight on the lights, and should be pretty decent weather night. It's funny how one of the coldest ones was like the middle of the season. Now it warmed back up again. But, Sumner got the win over Postville, first game of the year. Beat Central Springs last week, 26-8. Have their senior night tonight. But, it's the end of the regular season, and everybody's in the playoffs, and everybody's wondering what's next week because you don't know yet. And it sounds like by noon tomorrow you should have a good idea of what your future holds, right?
Yeah, I could show you all the notes I've taken to what I think we're going to do or where we're going to go. And it's really frustrating because, how next week is set up is based upon what the Iowa High School Association believes is the right thing. In years past, it's been bracketed. It's been this, this, and this. And this year's, it's, since everyone in, it's potted up. And, there's nine districts. There's 10. There's going to be 10 byes. Each district winner gets a bye. So we won't know until noon who, in theory, that second place team is that will get another bye. And it's got me – there's sometimes I get – flustered is not the right word, but I get frustrated because I'm not controlling my controllables. And I'm looking at, hey, usually this is so segmented and so organized, and it's not. It's not that the association doesn't have anything organized. It's just want to be able to control what I can control. And all we can control is tonight and then tomorrow at noon. As soon as I find out or it gets released, I'm going to go on Instagram Live to tell – Jayhawk Nation, where we're going, who's in our pod, and what's up, and then we start preparing.
Because what's in there? I'm just trying to look at that, and I'm going to share that up on the screen one more time. you know, just to get a sense of that and how that looks different than it does previous years. Obviously, we're starting 2 weeks earlier in the playoffs, but it's usually what, first round, second round, then quarterfinals. Is there an extra round in there? I'm trying to remember how that usually goes.
Great
and
question.
I'm going to put you on the spot.
Yeah, great question. You know what? They've always been looking for different ways. And, you know, in 15, it was they took the top four. You know, last year it was, I think it was 1-2, and then they would see 1-2 in your district would get in, and then they'd have at-large bids. And, you know, if someone wants to, you can go look at all the different districts that are part of 1A, and you can see one of the biggest things they talk about is your opponent most likely is going to be close to you, you know, geographically based. So, I mean, you look at Class 1A, District 1, and I think that's West Sioux, West Line bracket district. We're not going all the way to Western Iowa. You know, we're looking at probably District 3 and District 4. We're in District 4. District 3 would be South Hamilton, South Hardin, AP Dyke, Hudson, East Marshall. So I don't know, but it, you know, it's up to it's the state's decision where everyone goes is based on geographics, and just all you can do is control tonight and then get ready for tomorrow.
Yeah, I guess I'm just pulling up here from last year. They did a first round, quarterfinal, semifinal, championship. So there's two extra rounds in there is what it looks like if we're going to compare to last year. Yeah, it'll be interesting, but there's also some excitement to it, right, Coach? It's something different. It's something new. You know, every basketball team gets a chance to be in the playoffs. Might as well get a chance for football to do it, get the experience in.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I think it's great because it gives, you know, if you're a team that maybe you had some injuries at the beginning part of the season, you know, and in years past, if you lose the first two district games, it's usually, you know, weeks 6, 7, and 8 are pretty long because the kids can see the writing on the wall. It's like, you know, we're unable to make the playoffs. But this is, there's still a lot of intention, you know, being intentional in those last couple of weeks. And hey, as long as we can get hot at the right time, we can be pretty dangerous. And that's what we've been talking to our kids this week. And we looked at a brief summary of each game, you know, week one against Northland, we did some great things. And, you know, week 2 through 6, we've seen like if we had somebody dinged or, you know, we had a COVID issue and, you know, we're preparing for the next 3-4 weeks because we believe we can be one of the hottest teams in 1A.
So, Coach, game tonight, Sumner Fredericksburg, 7 o'clock kickoff, and make your way up there if you're joining in tonight and see that see how that game plays out, and then we'll be anxiously awaiting the live Instagram video tomorrow from you, Coach. But as always, it is Friday night, and especially it's what?
Great night to be a Jayhawk.
It is a great night to be a Jayhawk. Good luck tonight, Coach. Go Jayhawks and be safe.
This is a Need 10 Media production.
Joe, good luck tonight.
Thanks, Scott.